From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. California's end-of-life law was overturned in court yesterday because the judge said it was unconstitutionally approved by the legislature during a special session. There are 5 days now for an emergency appeal, so you can follow the developments at capradio.org, and we'll talk more about the situation tomorrow on Insight. Meanwhile, in news from the California governor's race, Delaine Easton has released her first ad, which features every other candidate in the race agreeing with her.
We've got to, as Delaine says, play offense.
We've got to grow more middle-class jobs. I agree with Delaine.
As Delaine indicated,
as Delaine said,
we do need more revenue for our schools. I agree with Delaine.
You're absolutely right, like Delaine.
Your point is well taken, Delaine, as usual.
But Delaine's right. I mean, it's all about accountability.
Here. I agree with the sentiment and the passion and Delaine as well.
You get it right on the head.
You can applaud that. I agree with that.
And in the spirit of Delaine, look, it's a question of leadership.
I want to just say thank you, thank you, thank you.
That was the moment in the debate when she's standing between two rowdy Republicans with her arms pushed out to either side. What an approach. For now, this is a digital online ad. It's supposed to be in some form a TV ad, so you may hear it or see it in days ahead. Campaign ads, by the way, are a focus for the PolitiFact California team right now, based at Capital Public Radio. Reporter Chris Nichols is here to examine an ad by John Chung's campaign. Hi, Chris. Glad to have you back in the studio.
Good morning, Beth. Good to be here.
So the claim you're looking at comes from a new TV ad that is attacking former LA Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Give me a little more context before we hear the claim.
Sure. And Villaraigosa, just like Delaine Easton, is a Democrat and is one of sort of a handful of candidates that are sort of considered in this second tier that are trying to get through the June primary to make it to the November runoff to be what might be a challenger to Gavin Newsom, the lieutenant governor, who's considered the front runner in the race and is expected to also make it through. So these candidates are putting out in ads, it seems like, almost every day. Villaraigosa, in this case, is being attacked in an ad by the campaign for John Chung, our state treasurer, also a candidate in the race.
The full fact check will be posted later today, so
That's just right. Doing
somewhat of a preview chat about it.
That's right. We've placed a rating on it. We'll publish it a little bit later this morning, and we'll talk a little bit about what we found today.
Okay, let's listen to some of the ad which started airing statewide this past weekend.
He was called a failure, an embarrassment. As mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa drove LA to the brink of bankruptcy. Villaraigosa's recklessness threatened jobs, the economy, and left no funding to test 7,000 rape kits, putting our safety at risk.
So that's a very high-profile point right now, and that's the point you looked at, those last words, that as mayor of Los Angeles, Villaraigosa's recklessness left no funding to test 7,000 rape kits, putting public safety at risk. Where did you begin?
Right, and those are some pretty strong words, recklessness and leaving no funding for thousands of untested rape kits. We found a pretty important audit by the city of Los Angeles from 2008, back at the time where this pileup of untested kits was really making headlines in Los Angeles. And that audit essentially said it spread blame across city leadership in Los Angeles. It blamed the city council, blamed the mayor, blamed the Los Angeles Police Department and its leadership, specifically looking at the LAPD and its mismanagement of federal funds. It had money to go and test these kits, but it was not using all of the money, and it didn't have a comprehensive plan to eliminate this huge backlog. So the audit is really where we started. And I think an important point about that audit, it also noted that this backlog, it didn't just start under Villaraigosa. It had really piled up years before he took office.
So the backlog is real. There's no contesting that. The point that this claim makes is that Villaraigosa's recklessness, which is one word to consider, left no funding, which is another phrase to consider, and words matter. So did you look at those two points separately?
We did. And we, of course, reached out to the Chung campaign to, as we always do, to ask for evidence for the claim and what really proves or supports these particular words in this statement. They sent us quite a few news articles and editorials from the time that did criticize Villaraigosa and city leadership. They talked about him being slow to act and sort of prioritizing the hiring of police officers over crime lab technicians. And I think some of that criticism does seem to be fair. He, you know, this problem did not start under his leadership, but it certainly early on also did not get solved. It actually grew. So I think some of those articles are fair, but what we did not find was any evidence of recklessness. I think that's a different sort of category. Being slow to address something is one thing, but I think another thing that the ad leaves out, and it's a big thing, is the fact that this backlog was eliminated, not just reduced, but eliminated under Villaraigosa's watch. It took a while. It wasn't until the end of his term in 2011, but under his leadership, the police force, the city, did go through and test all of these thousands of kits. And so the ad mentions nothing about that. It gives the impression that the city was still dealing with this huge problem, this frustrating problem, when Villaraigosa left. And this idea of left no funding implies that essentially the city had no money or decided to put no money towards this problem, which is just not supported by the facts.
And that point was made to you by Villaraigosa's campaign, which contests this ad for a couple reasons.
They did. I mean, they pointed out what is pretty clear to see in news articles from the time is that indeed the city did eliminate the problem eventually. And they also pointed out that the problem didn't start under his leadership. Again, those are both sort of very clear public facts. They're not really in dispute. I think what we did find, and it is fair to criticize the city and Villaraigosa for maybe not making this a priority early on. I think that's completely fair. There was a former prosecutor and former city councilman there in Los Angeles that looks like years before this audit was calling for more money for this. And in the early period of Villaraigosa's tenure, and you know, not enough money was put towards it early on. But again, going back to the claim, like you said, words do matter. When you see an ad say that someone was reckless, that they left no money, and then it mentions nothing about the problem actually being solved, that's what we took issue with and end up placing a false rating on that statement.
All right. So a false rating means, obviously, that...
That it's simply not accurate. You know, there was money left to test and eliminate this problem. We found, again, no evidence that Villaraigosa's actions were reckless.
You're listening to PolitiFact California reporter Chris Nichols. The PolitiFact team has been examining claims in campaign ads. And I asked Chris if we could catch up on a recent fact check that was published, I believe, last week. We hadn't talked about it, but it does reference a TV ad in the Sacramento County District Attorney's race. This is an ad by the campaign for the current DA, Anne Marie Schubert. You focused on a couple different issues in that ad.
We did. There were about three interesting sort of biographical claims in the first 10 seconds of the ad that caught our attention. And, of course, it references the arrest of a suspect in the Golden State Killer case. So that caught our attention, too.
All right. Let's listen to the ad, and then we'll come back to the fact-checking.
Sacramento County District Attorney Anne Marie Schubert, a groundbreaking DNA expert. Schubert led the investigation that solved the Golden State Killer East Area Rapist case.
Breaking news at this hour from Sacramento County.
Confirmed now, there's been a major break in the East Area Rapist case.
That huge break in a cold case terrorizing California for decades.
We found the needle in the haystack, and it was right here in Sacramento.
Tough, fair, independent. District Attorney Anne Marie Schubert. She protects us.
All right, Chris Nichols and the PolitiFact California team looked at a couple phrases there. Let's start with a groundbreaking DNA expert.
I think that one left a few people kind of scratching their heads. I mean, you know, obviously Schubert is a prosecutor. She does have a lot of experience prosecuting DNA cases. We spoke with Ruth Dickover at UC Davis. She heads the UC Davis Forensic Science Graduate Program, just to get a better understanding of DNA experts, who they are, what they are. And she told us that, you know, Shubert would not be considered an expert, at least not in a scientific sense. She emphasized, as the Shubert campaign did, that Shubert has prosecuted many of these cases, some very important and high-profile DNA cases, but there's a difference. The scientists who work in the labs and analyze DNA are one thing. The prosecutors, who do need an understanding of the science, but certainly are not, you know, hands-on with the material.
I wondered if the ad was referencing the what appeared to be groundbreaking use of DNA technology, meaning the search of genealogy or using of genealogical sites to connect a suspect and a DNA trail.
I think that could be definitely one interpretation, and that's probably the impression that some people picked up. I think One issue with this ad in general, the terms groundbreaking DNA expert, there's another part of it, whether or not the case was actually solved, that's a word used in the ad. Some of these were open to interpretation, and that's why we did examine and sort of lay out the facts as we know them with this article. We didn't place any ratings on these claims. Sometimes you have these statements where I think people on all sides of it can have their own interpretation. It doesn't mean anyone is right or wrong. But I think, again, Shubert, based on the resume that her campaign sent us, again, has been involved in some of these really high-profile cases, DNA cases early on, that did set some precedents. There's no doubt about that. And so I think it's a fair term. It maybe needs some explaining, which is what we tried to do in the article.
The use of the word solved raises the question of whether solving a case means that there's a conviction or some kind of resolution through the court or jury. Did you get any conclusion on what that word solved means?
Well, I spoke with former Sacramento County District Attorney Jan Scully, who retired just a few years ago, handpicked Shubert to succeed her in 2014. And I asked her about that term solved, because it was another one that I think people had questions about. You know, the suspect in the case is right now going through the court process. There's been no conclusion, no conviction.
He's only accused at this point.
Exactly.
So is the case solved?
Well, Scully told me that is a term that essentially investigators, police would use once they have enough information to say, this is the person we feel confident committed the crime. That doesn't mean, in their minds, that it's gone through the court process. She made a distinction. There are cases that can never go through a court process if the suspect is deceased, if it's an old case where key witnesses have died. So there maybe can never be complete justice in a case in some cases, but investigators are still confident that they have solved the case. That's the sort of understanding and what Scully relayed to us.
Can you say a few quick words about the claim that Anne-Marie Shubert led the investigation?
Well, that's another one we looked at. I think based on news reports, information from Shubert's campaign and from Scully, they all do indicate that she took a leading role in this investigation. There is an investigator from Contra Costa County, Paul Holes, who really has been considered a driving force, maybe not in an elected leadership position.
And in fact, he's the one being given credit for the idea to search the genealogical sites. So even on the point of being the groundbreaking DNA expert, there has been more attention in that regard to him.
Right. And we spoke with Noah Phillips, who's running as the challenger in this race against Shubert. He's a Sacramento County Deputy District Attorney. He believes that Holes deserves the lion's share of the credit for this arrest. And like you said, Holes did come up with this sort of unorthodox approach to go and find a genealogical website.
Okay, so the rating on the TV ad is?
Well, again, we didn't place any ratings. We took each of those three statements. We examined it. We laid out the facts the best we could. But because some of them are so open to interpretation, we didn't place any ratings on that one.
All right. I am going to add that we have reached out to the campaigns of both Anne-Marie Schubert and Noah Phillips, requesting time for conversations here on Insight. We've not heard back or had any confirmation from either candidate at this point. A lot of Anne-Marie Schubert's early media appearances had to do with this case and the discussion of aspects of this case. So at a time of campaign, it can seem like those appearances end up being campaign appearances, but it becomes technical in making sure that you have time for each candidate. And I did want to say to everybody that we are working on that and hope to have that happen, obviously, before the primary date. So, Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Beth.
I'm going to refer everybody to the links to both the California PolitiFact Fact Checks and the National PolitiFact website. That is Chris Nichols, and you're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.